talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Big event in Milwaukee. We're going to have a new mayor, Tom Barrett, step down to go and be ambassador to Luxembourg. He and his wife are over there now, ambassadors to Luxembourg. That left the mayoralty open. The president of the Common Council, Chevy Johnson, by law, became acting mayor until an election could be held. There's a primary election. It's Tuesday, day before yesterday, and a field of seven candidates got winnowed down to two candidates. Those two run against each other on April 5th, and that person gets elected for the remainder of Tom Barrett's term, which is for two more years. Well, let me cut through all this. There were seven candidates. Five of them would be considered credible in the sense that they had prior political or office experience. The two that came out of it were Chevy Johnson. His given name is Cavalier Johnson, Cavalier Johnson. His nickname is Chevy. So Chevy Johnson is now one of the two people running to succeed Tom Barrett in April. And the other one is Bob Donovan. Now, Chevy Johnson's a very young guy, elected, I think, to the Common Council for the first time in 2016. So he's been there a little over 4 years, and very able guy. Bob Donovan was an alderman for about 20 years older. And here's how it breaks down. Chevy Johnson would be considered the more liberal candidate, although I think he's seen as fairly moderate. He's advocated putting almost 200 more police officers on the street of Milwaukee. We do have a crime surge right now. Bob Donovan would be seen as more conservative, supported by the police union and by a lot of people. Well, the Republican Party supports him, at least the gubernatorial candidates. He's not really a Republican. And I think in the mainstream of mayors going back in the history of Milwaukee, he probably wouldn't deviate that much. Chevy Johnson is younger, and that's how it shakes out. The vote, Johnson got 42% of the vote in a seven-person field. Bob Donovan got 22%. There are three other very credible candidates who all clustered around 10 to 12%. Senator Lena Taylor, Alderwoman Marina Dmitrievich, and then our sheriff. And the three of them, they were all credible people. However, they didn't make the cut. So what's going to happen? Well, we have 7 weeks, 49 days till the election. And we'll see what happens. Right now, you'd have to say that a guy that got 42% of the vote was going to beat a guy that got 22% of the vote, in the sense that even if they divvy up the remaining votes, it looks like it would be no-brainer. However, the turnout was only 22%, and it's going to be higher than that in the general election in April. And the common wisdom is that in very low turnout elections, things like the people are far better informed. Name recognition doesn't count for as much. And people do explore the nuances of the issues. You know, there are a couple of people. I mean, Ernell Lucas, the treasurer, the sheriff, was a captain on the Milwaukee Police Force, and he also was the head of security for Major League Baseball, a very fine guy. But I think people looked on him as, you know, he's an older guy and they wanted a new generation in there. Marina Dmitrievich is young and very well supported in this race. She has a bright future. And Senator Lena Taylor is an institution over here, and she has a bright future. But it comes down to Chevy Johnson and Bob Donovan. So I don't know what's going to happen. A lot of it's going to depend on advertising on TV. $600,000 was spent on television in the primary, and $400,000 of that was spent by Chevy Johnson. And so there are people behind Chevy Johnson with some money. And if they keep that up, which I assume they will, this could be an expensive race. Bob Donovan, we'll see. We'll see who backs Bob Donovan. But whoever wins, Milwaukee has a history of electing mayors for a long time. Henry Meyer was mayor for 28 years, from 1960 to 1988. John Norquist then was mayor for something like, I don't know, 16 years. And then Tom Barrett was mayor for close to 18 years. So this is not an inconsequential thing. And whoever the mayor of Milwaukee is the financial engine of the state, the cultural engine of the state. And that's someone who's going to be paid attention to. So it behooves everybody to pay attention to this race. Chevy Johnson against Bob Donovan. And we'll know a lot more 7 weeks from now. We'll know a lot more 7 weeks from now. Turning back outside of Milwaukee, a judge in Washington, D.C., reinstated the Trump Organization as a defendant in a suit over the misuse of inauguration funds. You may remember that issue. Around the inauguration, parties, whoever's getting inaugurated, this time it was Biden, back in 2016, 2017, it was Trump. They people raise a lot of money. They have to raise a lot of money. They're entertainers, they're logistics. You have to rent venues, there's food, a lot of things. For the Trump inauguration, they raised a very, very large amount of money, a lot more than had been done in the past. And there never was a satisfactory explanation of where it all went, where it disappeared. That money that's donated is tax deductible. You know, unlike a political contribution, where if you give $500 to a candidate, you can't deduct that. That's not deductible. But if you give money, if a corporation gives money to an inauguration as a civic matter, they're going to take a deduction. So it's especially important there to make sure that this money goes for a legitimate purpose. I mean, even in the case of a political candidate to whom you give, say, $100, $500, $1,000, $50, if they misuse that for personal purposes and don't disclose it, that's a felony. And Duncan Hunter, a Republican congressman from California, got criminally charged for that. And there are several others there who should as well. On the other hand, it is lawful for a candidate to use campaign funds for personal expenses if he discloses it. If he discloses it, he'll say, look, I'm not a wealthy guy. I can't afford to take off from work without an income. So I want you to know that if you're donating to me, I am going to use some of that for my rent and food. If that's okay with you, okay, you contribute to me. And by the way, I will show that as an expenditure and the reason for it. If you do that, if there's transparency, that is lawful. Transparency is a stranger to the Trump Organization, quite frankly, and to Trump, the culture of the Trump Organization. A lot of money comes in, hundreds of millions of dollars, and presto, they pull aside the curtain, it disappears. The allegation in this claim, in this complaint, is that the money was paid to the Trump Organization and members of the Trump family. Now, this is tax deductible money. You know, you don't just do that. You don't just do that. And so there's a real question about the legitimacy, obviously, of those payments. assuming that's proven and that's what's in the lawsuit. Initially, and I'm not at all certain how this could have occurred, the first judge that looked at this on a motion dismissed the Trump organization and the Trump family. Well, you know, here's the gray area. You know, Trump has hotels, has one in Washington in particular. If a lot of the money went to renting suites in his hotel, it comes down to, you know, did he charge a lot more than he normally would have? Who was in those suites? That kind of thing. But it's more than that. It's more than that in the allegations and the complaint. So the Trump organization and the Trump family are defendants back in this case. The judge reinstated the Trump organization. They are going to have to give a deposition. They are going to have to explain where the money went. You don't just take that kind of money and just hide it and don't explain where it went. I mean, this is pretty elementary, but if you take a look at what's going on in New York and so forth, it doesn't surprise me at all. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.